This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rolls Oconee Historical Society. Today's story was written by Rudy Bilberg and included in the book County of Rolls Oconee Centennial, 1895 to 1995. In the mid-1930s, with the deepening depression, young men, mostly in their teens, desperately sought out work. Most efforts were futile, but a need was seen to make use of this valuable workforce. Our government wisely decided to harness the energies of these boys into projects that would help our country in years to come. This need created the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC. The aims and hopes of the CCC are clearly outlined in one sentence from the Minnesota Department of Conservation pamphlet, 1933-1941. It says, "Those jobs which will increase the production of wood, water game, recreational opportunities, and soil fertility of natural resources now on hand, or restore those which have been destroyed." With these lofty goals in mind, the United States Army was asked to build and operate the camps. They built barracks and tent frames as shelters. They supplied, prepared, and served the food. Clothes were supplied with laundries to keep them clean. Military doctors and dentists came regularly to serve the medical needs of the workers. In each camp, older men hired by the Forestry Department taught woodsmanship, proper tool care and use. Many of these were ex-lumberjacks. Forest rangers planned projects, some of which were forest thinning, tree planting, fire tower watch, and firefighting. Trails, roads, bridges, and recreational areas were built. In Rolls Oconee, a CCC camp of black men stationed at Clear River built the well-known recreation site at Bemis Hill and the Thompson-Bednar Road from Clear River west to County Road 9 near Hayes Lake. This road and the Bemis Hill Recreation Area, located in Township 160 North, Range 37 West, unorganized, are still serviced and used more than 50 years later. Pay schedules for the camp went as follows. The total earnings of each man was $75 per month. Of this, $45 went to the Army for board, room, and all camp services. $25 went to the family, and each boy was given $5 per month for incidentals. Every man I talked to who served in the CCC nearly 60 years ago had high praise for the project. Mature trees now stand where seedlings were planted. People can picnic, snowmobile, and ski in the recreation areas they built. The forest trails are still used for hiking. Some have been widened to accommodate snowmobiles and other off-road vehicles. To this day, these men look with pride at the days of their youth. They learned about nature, forestry, and conservation. They learned to handle and care for tools. Above all, they created useful public facilities for themselves and future generations. Rudy Bilberg also included in the same book this story about another Depression-inspired program. In the early 1930s, our nation struggled in the throes of the Great Depression. Strong, proud men, humbled by poverty, stood in long lines waiting for a handout of food. Families at home sorted through old, discarded clothing, hoping to find something to make over for themselves and their children. Jobs were nearly non-existent, and our government strove ceaselessly to find a solution. Out of their efforts, the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, was born. From this beginning, work projects were created from coast to coast. All jobs were planned to meet future needs of the country. New airports, bridges, and civic buildings were built. Needy men got jobs and were prideful of their labors. They improved their communities and they earned their money. Many projects planned and executed at this time still stand as monuments of credit to the WPA. In Rolls Oconee, a community hall and county garage were built. Warroad gained an airport and greatly improved beach and waterfront area. A new school was built in Strathcona. One Rolls Oconee project I think stands out as unique. Called the Garden Club, this unit cleared trees and brush, plowed and planted vegetables in the rich loam of the Rosa Riverbank on the present golf course. Vegetables grew in profusion and were given to the welfare office. overabundance often occurred and was taken to the basement of the courthouse. Here, women processed the produce in tin cans. These were later distributed to the needy. The qualifying officer managed the business end. When learning of a new job, he called the welfare office requesting men. Lists were checked, and possibly 10 or 12 men suited to the task were available. The workers were dispatched, and the job began. Each man got $16.50 per week. They were paid with federal checks signed by the qualifying officer. No one waited for their pay. Now, more than half a century later, the creations of these men still serve their communities. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.